In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who do you say that I am? The simple question Jesus asks his disciples. And after giving responses about what other people say about Christ, that perhaps he is John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, or maybe just one of the other prophets, St. Peter is led to confess a most glorious truth. St. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it is this truth that the church is built upon. It is this truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that leads to everlasting life. It is this truth that no man or woman can confess apart from the Holy Spirit. And so it is that St. Peter did not come to this realization by himself. On this day, as we commemorate St. Peter and St. Paul as the titans of the faith that they were and still are to this day, we must always remember what it is they confessed. Not what they did and who they reached that sets them apart. But they confessed with their whole life that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And for that confession, they were willing to be martyred. They were willing to give everything. But it is not according to their own flesh that we celebrate them this day. For their own flesh is too weak to be able to give all for this confession. But we celebrate them this day because of the flesh of Christ that strengthened them to make that confession. The flesh of Christ, the Son of the living God, is really at the heart of this feast day. It is not because St. Peter and St. Paul were such great, wonderful people. All that they had, all that they are, was given to them by Christ. And we would do well to remember this. For you suffer from the same thing that all mankind does. A sense of superiority. The temptation and inclination towards thinking of your own self, at least maybe not yourself, but mankind, as a center of the universe. That all of the heavens and the cosmos and all of creation circles around us, mankind, as the pinnacle of God's creation. And to this I say, who is Peter? Who is Paul? And who are you? Nothing but grass that withers and fades according to your sin. But to you, I also remind you of what Jesus says to Peter. Blessed are you. Even though you are grass and will wither and fade away, blessed are you. Simon Bar-Jonah, Jesus says, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That is, that the Father reveals the Son through the Holy Spirit. And it is this work, the work of the most holy, blessed Trinity, that makes Peter's confession so great. It is this work, the work of God, that makes him even worth remembering. For the confession is far outside of human reason. It is outside of human strength and will. And it is full and pure gift given to Peter by the Father through the Spirit concerning the Son. And this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is so foundational. It is the foundation of the church. It is not upon Peter that Christ builds his church. It is not upon the flesh of a mere man, but upon the confession of Christ. The eternal Son of the Father is and always will be the cornerstone and the center of the church. For when the church gathers, it gathers around the flesh and blood of Christ. When the church gathers, It is around the eternally begotten Son of the Father. This confession is the genesis of the church. It is this confession that the church finds her being and her strength and her resiliency. For apart from this truth, the church is nothing. Apart from this truth, the church will wither and fade and fall away. The gates of hell will run rampant over her and tread her to the ground. But with this truth, she is enjoined to her Lord. She's enjoined to God. And the gates of hell will not prevail against her. For the church that holds this confession never loses. Satan will throw all that he has at her. She might lose temporarily her buildings, her things, these accoutrements, but she will not fall. The church remains victorious. For the church is rooted in Christ, who has overcome death by death, and has bestowed life to those in the tombs. And we indeed have a wonderful blessing here in this place. That risen Savior, we have such a beautiful space to gather. Look around you at our walls, at our windows, and all the beautiful artwork that confesses what we believe. Our chancel, our nave, our whole building, our organ is thought out to make a confession. But do not take stock in all of this stuff. Christ does not promise that these walls, these windows, this altar, that organ will endure. It is a blessing to have, to be sure, but when that becomes our hope, we have made it into an idol and we are to repent. The church that prevails against the gates of hell is not this building. It is not even this congregation. One day our doors may close for good. But that does not mean the church has failed. It does not mean Christ has failed. For does Christ not warn the disciples as they marveled about the glorious stones set upon themselves to build the temple, that all of these will be torn down and not one stone will be left standing upon another? So marvel not, dear Christian, simply at how beautiful our building is. Marvel not, dear Christian, about how great of a pastor you may have. But see in all these things the confession they make. See in all these things this one simple truth on which the church is built, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. See how they point and direct you to your Lord. And this confession that St. Paul makes in all of his writings, that he will know nothing other than Christ and him crucified. That is the point of it all. Likewise, fear not if it all fades away. If the steeple crumbles, if the door out of neglect or lack of finances rots off of its hinges, if some schmuck is sent to you to be your pastor, take heart and rejoice. Because the Church of God will endure all of this. The Church of God will not be toppled by some mere man. Fear not. For the word of the Lord endures forever. Christ endures forever. And upon this confession, the church is built. The church is not stones and steeples. It is not even the people. The church is where the word of God is preached in its truth and its purity, and the sacraments are administered rightly. The scriptures describe the church as something that is otherworldly, something that comes down from heaven. The scriptures describe the church as something that is heavenly, mystical, and divine. It is the very body of Christ himself. And the scriptures teach that this church is not built upon stones, but upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. With the promise that because of who Christ Jesus is, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Even when steeples fall, the church endures. Even when congregations explode, either figuratively or literally, the church endures. When congregations close, the church endures. When pastors fail and laity doesn't care, the church endures. Christ our Lord calls us to place our trust in him, but also in the church. He says, in the one holy Christian and apostolic church, we are to put our trust. For it is an article of faith that we even tack on to the end of the creed. We confess, I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. So rightly speaking, the church is not an institution. It is not even a building. It cannot fail because Christianity is not a hobby. Our faith is not some pastime. Our faith is rooted and built upon Christ. It is worth dying for. It is worth denying ourselves, dying to our own sinful flesh, dying to the world, and even dying in real life. The church is the mystical, heavenly body of Christ against which Satan cannot prevail. It is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and into this church you were baptized. Into this church you were given the assurance of a salvation that will not fail. You were given Christ. So take heart. Rejoice and love your church. Just because all of this around you will one day crumble and fall, just because the doors of this congregation may shut much sooner than we'd want, it doesn't mean it's all for naught. No. Instead, adorn the church with beautiful things, with artwork that confesses Christ, with hymns and songs that profess him crucified for the forgiveness of sins. For this is where Christ dwells for you. Let us confess with St. Peter and St. Paul, even unto death, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we will know nothing other than him and his crucifixion. For here in this building, Christ is present. The Son of the living God is present in body and blood, in with and under the bread and the wine for you, in the preached word for you. And even if hell should take our building, if hell should take our goods, fame, child, and wife, gather anyways. For the church does not need the building. Finds her life in Christ. And Christ cannot be destroyed by death and hell. And to Christ, you have been baptized. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand as we sing the offertory.